Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
The Book of Lamentations, you may want to turn there. It's going to take you a little bit to find it. Book of Lamentations, Jeremiah, Lamentations. I want to encourage you out of the third chapter of the Book of Lamentations this morning. You're saved by grace if you're born again. You have the Holy Spirit as your comforter. The Bible is your guide. The air you breathe, God has given you. There are people to reach. We've got a purpose here on this earth, and it's a pretty exciting life in which we're living. Before I read any scripture, I came across this story this week. I thought, man, that's amazing. How many remember the Apache war chief? Not that you were alive then, but the Apache war chief Geronimo. Raise your hand. Man, all over. We've all heard that. World War II, paratroopers would jump out of planes yelling his name because he was fearless. And the word Geronimo has something to do with the cry. And he was a fearless and a brutal leader as far as inflicting damage on his enemy. And he'd go back and forth over the Mexican border and back into America. And he was driving the U.S. Cavalry nuts. And he just took a strong hand. And he finally got caught. And he was finally sent away. And I just came across this week. And it's an amazing. You're going to be amazed at who you find in heaven. You know that? Geronimo. In the latter years of his life, he got born again. Two of his fiercest warriors got saved, and their lives were changed. And they had such peace and joy in their life that it impacted him. So he went to a revival meeting with them in a place called Medicine Bluff Creek near Fort Sills. This is all on record in the Oklahoma University Library, all right? So he went to the meeting. He didn't get saved that night, but 7 days later, he got born again. Before he died, he stood tall and said, "I am not ashamed to be called a Christian." He got born. We're going to see Geronimo in heaven. You're going to be surprised who you're going to find in heaven. And you will be surprised who is not there. People that kind of played the game, but they were never born again. You say, you mean that you believe that this ruthless warrior, that he is in God's heaven right now? All by the grace of God. Yes, I do. Based on his testimony. That is salvation. By the way, aren't you glad that God has given you, if you're born again, that God has given you the opportunity, because you're born again, to go to his heaven. And here's the deal. It's not about a second chance. This is misunderstood by so many people. It's not a chance at all. Man, he made the way. He knew that even after I got born again, if it was relying on my own strength, I couldn't stay saved. Man, I couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. I couldn't keep the Decalogue. I couldn't fulfill the law. The Bible says, he that offends in one point is guilty of all. Man, I can't. I'm a sinner. So here, it isn't a second chance. There's no chance to it. I have a mediator. I have an advocate. He is my redeemer. He is my Savior. I'm not going to heaven by chance. I'm going to heaven because all God said is, God said, I sent my son. He died on the cross. He made propitiation for your sin. He shed his blood, and he rose again on the third day. And all I'm requiring of you is a heart thing, a repentance. If you'll come unto me, and if you'll trust me, I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not a second chance. Because truthfully, I need a third chance, and I need a fourth chance, and I need a fifth chance. And Jesus didn't say you must be born again and again and again. He just said you must be born a second time. You must be born again. And so it's not a second chance. It's redemption. All because of Jesus. And here, I know I'm not going to do a good job ahead of time, because it's like trying to put the oceans in a teacup, the Niagara Falls in a little thimble, to describe to you, to somehow preach to you the goodness of God. Before we read a single verse in Lamentations, hold your hand here and go to Romans and chapter 2. Romans and chapter 2. In verse 4. Talks about man being inexcusable. Verse 4 says, "Oh, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. I want to preach a message this morning. I'm going to try to stay basically in the Book of Lamentations and preach unto you that It's not good English, but it's good doctrine. Ain't God good? Man, he is good to us. Father in heaven, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. Help me this morning to do my better than my best. I pray for an anointing. I pray for endowment of power from on high. We pray the Holy Spirit would take over and be the preacher this morning. And Lord, there are a lot of people here that don't have a good understanding of what you are and what you've done for them. And some of us, we're pretty forgetful. And God, we're ungrateful, just downright ungrateful. And we don't thank you for the blessings of God in our lives. And I pray that even as we're looking at the text this morning, and I'm preaching this morning, that people, the Holy Spirit will allow people to travel back in their mind and the events of their lives and how good you have been to them and how good you are to them today. And you always will be. And Lord, we'll give you the glory. And God, if there's someone not born again, listening to my voice or right here in the auditorium, and they're not born again, we pray for their salvation. May they understand today that God is good. It's a wicked world that we live in. And man is not good, but God is good. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. The truth is, not one of us would be going to heaven had not God reached down from heaven, sent his only begotten son 2,000 years ago and died on the cross that we might have eternal life. But fast forward to the 21st century or whenever it was you got saved. Maybe you got saved in the 20th century. And I look around this morning, maybe you got saved in the 19th century. I don't know. There's some old people here as well. But you know, had it not been for God allowing a soul winner, leading a soul winner or a gospel tract, but somehow God, the Holy Spirit, reached down to you and you heard the gospel and you got born again. And you ought to thank God for that. And you ought to shout from the housetops every day of the week, my God is good, because he is. Go back to Lamentations now. Lamentations. I want to read in chapter 3, but let me begin reading in chapter 1. Let me give you a little bit about Lamentations. Jeremiah is the writer, and of course, God is the author. And Jeremiah is used of God to write the book of Jeremiah, the Kings, and the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet. He's the one that prophesied the coming Babylonian captivity and Babylon overrunning the city of Jerusalem. And he prophesied to God's people, and these were self-inflicted wounds. God doesn't desire to do evil to anybody. Sometimes these are self-inflicted things that are going on in our lives, and we do it to ourselves, and so God therefore has to correct us by way of judgment. The people of Jerusalem were worshiping the false god called Baal. There was Baal worship going on. They turned their back on Jehovah God. And the prophet Jeremiah was raised up by God. This man called the weeping prophet, and he prophesied against his own. Verse 1 says, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces. How is she become a tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her, and they are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. Israel is receiving self-inflicted wounds. The way of the transgressor is hard, and the reason is they turned their back on God. Go over to chapter 3. I want to get to my text this morning. Chapter 3, in a poetic metaphor with great eloquence, Jeremiah prophesies. As a matter of fact, all of the chapters are an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet, 22 characters in the Hebrew alphabet. And every chapter in the book of Jeremiah, 22 verses, except one chapter, and that's the chapter we're going to read, and that's chapter 3. Just going to read a portion of it, but it's still an acrostic because it's written in groups of threes, the verses are. 66 verses, but it's really an acrostic of 22 paragraphs. That makes sense? All right? Verses of three, in case I said that wrong. Verse 1 says, I am man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. It was personal to Jeremiah. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. It was a time of darkness. Verse 4, my flesh and my skin hath made old. He hath broken my bones. He was aged by his grief. Verse 6, I'm not reading every verse, and there's something in every verse, but verse 6 says, he hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He said, the condition of Israel, of Jerusalem, is like death. It's like death. They are hopeless. He goes on and speaks to that. He goes on and speaks to it being bitter in verse 15. Verse 16, he hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. They were in mourning. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. Now, before I read what I want to preach here this morning, understand this. Not everything is going to go right in our lives, even for those who are sold out to God. Because there are valleys and there are mountains, just like we sang about. The difference is we don't travel those valleys alone. And the difference is when you're walking with God and you are on the mountain, you be sure to give glory to God because you know it is all of God instead of being that self-made man like Nebuchadnezzar turned into. And he just kind of forgot how good Jehovah God, Daniel's God, was to him. And if we're not careful, as New Testament Christians, so I don't want this to be a Pollyanna message. I want you to understand this. If I step out of line from the Word of God, I'm asking God to correct me just like he did Israel, just like he did Jerusalem. And he'll use the Babylons of this world to get our attention. And man, they were in a bad way. They were bitter. They were hopeless. It was dark. It was like death. It was like they had a great chain about them. They could not escape. Verse 18 says, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, that's the bitter, dark hopelessness, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. I just got three more verses and I'm going to preach them. Let's stand together as I read it. Everybody standing. These three verses have been running over and over again in my heart the last 2 weeks. I read it in my Bible reading, Lamentations chapter 3, and I got down to verse 24, and it's just hanging on, man. It's just everywhere I go. It's like the Holy Spirit kind of hooked it into my heart, and everywhere I go, I'm thinking about this. And that's the way God the Holy Spirit works. It says in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You'll never wear out God's mercy. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And he says more about goodness, but I can't preach it all this morning. Father in heaven, please arrest our attention. What's left in this message, may we leave here this morning surrendered and better prepared to serve you. Strengthened, may our faith be made strong. God, if there's someone here that is not born again, we pray for their salvation. It might be they'll listen to this message on a radio, maybe on off of the internet, maybe off of their phone, off of a computer, however it is. God, I pray that you'd make the gospel clear, and you'd encourage the saint, and you'd draw the sinner to your son, that they might be born again. For we know that you're good, and we give you glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. Paul said, no good thing dwelleth within me. Oh, you know what? Let's read the whole verse. There's a whole verse there. Romans 7, if you're not there yet, just listen to me. Verse chapter 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He says later on in verse 24, same thought. This is the great apostle Paul, greatest New Testament Christian that ever lived. I think I can safely say that. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul understood that there was nothing good in him. So for everybody here that thinks they've got it all together, and everybody here that thinks they're super Christian, you might want to loosen your halo just a little bit, because you haven't arrived and you don't know everything. And for you to sit back and fold your arms and say, okay, preacher, let's hear what you got. Man, you got the wrong, you're wrong-headed right from the get-go. As a child of God, now, I wasn't looking at anybody when I was saying that, right? Some people just relax that way. I understand that. So I'm not challenging you right now. Maybe I am. I am challenging you right now, right? Get in the right mindset, the right frame of mind. Go back to Lamentations now and chapter 3. Man is not good, but God sure is. And I got saved because of the goodness of God. I was thinking about this for this morning's message. When Margene led me to the Lord, I didn't want to go to hell. I was in fifth grade. I knew that much. But you know why I wanted to get saved? Because I knew that God was good. And I knew that I wasn't. I was a sinner. And I needed Jesus as my Savior. I understood that. I'm a sinner, but yet forgiven. I'm a wretch, but yet beloved. I'm a failure, and yet accepted. I'm broken, and yet I'm made whole, all because of Jesus. The Lord is good. Look what it says here, verse 22. 21 says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." And Jeremiah's prophesying, everything else had failed. Everything in Jerusalem had come to nothing. But God had not. God had never failed. I'll say this again. God will never let you down. People will let you down. Your own heart will deceive you and let you down. But God will never let you down. His truths are eternal. He is a righteous God. God is good. Look at verse 22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." God has never given up on me. You know how many times I've sinned since I've gotten born again? I don't know if there's a number. I certainly don't know the number. So it wasn't getting a second chance. It was being redeemed. It was being born again, the second time, born from above by the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus, the propitiation for my sins, he knew that I couldn't do it. That's why it has to be of grace. That's why it's of mercy. That's why his mercies are new every morning. You'll never wear out the mercies of God. How many have failed God? Just meekly say amen. Man, over and over again. How many times have you and I disappointed our Savior, the one who gave us eternal life? The one who recorded our name in the Lamb's book of life. The one who allowed, just redeemed us that we would escape the fires of hell. And yet I've let him down. Sometimes it's just a look. Sometimes it's just an attitude. But it's flesh. And it's wrong. Look what it says here. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." I deserve hell. "Because his compassions fail not." I've already received more than I deserve. Let me testify. I'm 63 this month, right? I got saved when I was in fifth grade. You do the math. I've sinned a lot. God has forgiven me every step of the way because I was born again. I'm his child. And he's blessed me. If there were no heaven, I already got more than I deserve. But I don't want to plant any seed of doubt. There is a heaven. And it's real. And eternity, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Man, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. I can look back in hindsight in my short life, and I see the blessings after God, blessings of God, and blessings of God, and blessings of God, and blessings of God. And I look at my grandchildren now, and I love my grandchildren, and all of them that are old enough have received Christ as their Savior, and they make me laugh, and I'm so blessed of God. I am. I'm so blessed. I never thought I'd be pastor in a church. Man, I never thought I'd be leading a flock for God. I never dreamed for a minute I'd be able to lead other people to Christ. Man, I never thought for a moment that I'd ever be able to preach a lick. But God is so good to me. And then the health that he's given to me. And the material blessings that he's given to me. I don't deserve any of it. God is good. And God is good all of the time. James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above." Psalm 34 and verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." I don't remember what a text is here, but I got it written down here in the flyleaf of my Bible. Let's all go together to Jeremiah chapter 29. Just back one book, verse 11. Verse 10 says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." God doesn't will evil upon his people, even before he sent them into captivity. He said, "You're going to be there 70 years. 70 years, my judgment is going to be upon you, but I've not forgotten you. I'm going to use that 70 years to purify you and bring you back to this very place." Man, you need to trust God. You know why? God is good. He is good. God is good all the time. Look at verse 23. Verse 23. He's talking about his mercies. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You'll never wear out God's mercies. They're new every morning. Every morning. Psalm 107 and verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. His mercies are new every morning. Sometimes I'm embarrassed. Often I'm embarrassed when I come and confess my sin to God. Because it's sin that I've confessed and committed in previous days. And I go back and I fall into it again. And maybe it's hatred. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's unthankfulness. And I've confessed that kind of sin so many times before. And I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. You that have been saved for any length of time and you're keeping short accounts with God. How many times could your prayer go like this? It's me again, Lord. I did it again. I did what I did before. All over again. And he says, what are you talking about? Your sins is as far as the east is from the west. That whatever you're talking about from previous days, I'd already forgiven that. You will never wear out the mercies of God. They're new every morning. Man, you need to get over it, and so do I. Get over that sin, keep growing in grace, and keep progressing and becoming more and more like Jesus. But the fact is, sometimes we take one step forward and two steps back, but you keep short accounts with God because his mercies are new every morning. You maybe think, the devil is telling you, oh, you're not as good as those other Christians. Man, you don't measure up. God doesn't want to use you. That's a lie right from hell. He wants to forgive you every time you come to him. I'm not saying that's a license to sin. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But I'm saying we need to come to God and come to God regularly because his mercies are new every morning. He'll never let you down. He'll never turn his back on you. In the dark of the storm, he is there. In the deepest night, he is there. In the water that's everything's out of control, he is there. Man, you just lean on God. Look what it says again, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. We deserve to be dead because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is good. God is good all the time. Verse 24, God is enough. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. He just got through talking about hopelessness. He just got through talking about how dark it was. And how it seems like there's no way out. And there's a great chain about them. And it's like death. Now he says in verse 24, and I think on this every day, the Lord is my portion. Therefore will I hope in him. So the Holy Spirit keeps bringing that text to my mind. So I studied it. And the word portion there actually talks about the material things that they have in Jerusalem. It's all been taken away. And the prophet says, by way of prophesying, the Lord, he is my wealth. He is my portion. He is all I need. All those other things that were taken away, if I have Jesus, I have enough. Boy, if we could get there as New Testament Christians in America in the 21st century, God is enough. Psalm 46, would you go back there? 46th Psalm. Verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled through the mountains, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. We have God. We have enough. Proverbs 18:10. The name of our Lord is a strong tower. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. If you're searching for what the world calls wealth, you're headed in the wrong direction. If you would, as Christians too, take your eyes off of the wealth of the world and put it on Jesus, you'd be able to say right along with the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord is my portion. That's a good, easy verse to memorize. So when things go wrong this week, you can say, that's okay. The Lord is my portion. I have enough. God is enough. Verse 25. Let me start again with verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and the soul that seeketh him. God is good to those who will follow him. I don't follow him perfectly, but I'll testify to it. Were it not for Christ in my life. And I follow him because of his goodness. So there's really no highfalutin spirituality to this. I know who butters my bread. Man, I know where the gravy train is. I know who takes care of me. I know who handles all of the problems that I can't handle in my life. So I follow him. And I find that as I follow him, he blesses me. And he's good to me. Again, verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. If you're looking for joy and happiness and comfort and popularity and power in the things of this world, you're hooked up to the wrong train, man. You're going in the wrong direction. As a child of God, if you'll just be able to say, I have a shepherd, he's my Savior, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he restoreth my soul. Man, if I just follow it, go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. In closing. Some of you are shocked that the time is up already. Some of you can't believe it's taken this long. Psalm 23. God is good to those that wait on him, that follow him. My part is simple. I didn't go to the cross. Man, I didn't shed my blood. I didn't have the power to come to conquer death. I didn't have to do anything like that. I didn't have to follow seven steps of some kind of progressive, self-righteous sanctification. I mean, that's not how it works. I didn't have to make a certain amount of money. I didn't have to be from a certain part of this planet. I don't have to be a certain race. I don't have to have a certain kind of personality. I don't have to have a certain kind of look. Jesus did it all. All I got to do is follow him. God said, all you got to do is accept my son. You take what he did on the cross, and I'll give you his righteousness. I'll impute his righteousness upon your life, so that when I see you, I see my only begotten son. I see you through the prism of the blood that was shed on Mount Calvary, the only begotten son of God. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. I don't need a third chance. I have Jesus. Look what it says here in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Great preaching. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That goes on right now. In Middle Eastern custom. When David the shepherd psalmist wrote this, if you were at your host's tent or at their table, and your enemy was seated across the table from you, even though he was your mortal enemy, he couldn't touch you as long as you were at the table of your host. You were under his protection. We have an enemy in this world. Read the verse again now. Know what it says. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. This is all I really wanted to read. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My cup runneth over. God is good. God is good all of the time. God is good to those who will follow him. Ain't God good?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast, when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.